This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Qudwatina wa Qaidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, last week we started talking about a beautiful story of a beautiful Prophet and Messenger, Prophet Yusuf. Yusuf alayhi salam. I know Arabs, especially from the Middle East, they call him Yusuf. No, it's Yusuf. Yusuf. So Yusuf alayhi salam, known as Joseph, but obviously we're going to stick to the pronunciation and the term that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Quran al-Kareem. And we said Yusuf is the son of Yaqub, the son of Ishaq, the son of Ibrahim, the one the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he is the generous one, the son of the generous one, the son of the generous one, the son of the generous one. A prophet, a son of a prophet, a son of a prophet, a son of a great prophet. And last week we started talking about Yusuf alayhi salam and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Yusuf alayhi salam from a young age. And how close Yusuf alayhi salam was to his father, Yaqub. And how Yaqub alayhi salam used to favor Yusuf alayhi salam and his brother over the rest of his brothers. Yusuf and Binyamin, who come from the same mother, who come from the same mother, and their mother is different mother to the rest of the brothers that they had. And we mentioned that Yaqub alayhi salam had 12 children. Those 12 children later on to be the children of Bani Israel, or the children of Israel. Bani Israel, the children of Israel. So Yaqub alayhi salam was married to three wives. One he had six sons from, the other one four sons, and the third one two sons. Those two sons are Yusuf and Binyamin. Yusuf and Binyamin are brothers from the same mother and father, but the rest of the brothers are the same father but different mothers. And we mentioned the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is an amazing story. It's the only story, complete story, of any prophet in the Quran al-Kareem that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his story from the beginning to the end in one surah. Where you've got the other prophets and messengers, you find their story is just scattered all over the Quran al-Kareem that you need to compile all that. And then we mentioned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Yusuf alayhi salam with a dream. And that dream, Ya abati inni ra'aytu ahad ashara kawkaba wa shamsa wal qamar ra'aytum li sajidin. When Yusuf alayhi salam, one night he saw in his dream, and then the following day, and he went and mentioned that dream to his father, oh father, I saw in my dream 11 planets. 11 planets. And the sun and the moon prostrating to me. So inni ra'aytu ahad ashara kawkaba, I saw 11 planets, the sun and the moon prostrating to me. And obviously he's talking to his father, and his father is a prophet, a messenger that understands those things. And then we mentioned the story in which he told Yusuf alayhi salam not to make mention of that dream to his brothers, otherwise that will increase from the envy that his brothers had towards him. And then we mentioned the story how the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam plotted against Yusuf, in which they wanted to kill him. Then the oldest one amongst them said, don't kill him, but get rid of him. And that's where we stopped at. We stopped at when they got rid of him. How did they get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam? They cast him, they threw him in a well. A well, a known well to them that was a few kilometers away from them. That well was known to be a well that many caravans in which they are traveling past, and they use that well for them to feed themselves and get water and so on. So this is where we stopped at last week. And then they returned back to their father crying, saying that we were running and racing and playing and enjoying our day, and we left Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, obviously he was known as Yusuf. We left Yusuf behind for him to look after our luggage, look after our belongings. And then we returned back and we saw the wolf had eaten our brother. وَجَاءُ عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions that in the Quran al-Kareem. They came back to their father with Yusuf's shirt and blood stained on it. And then subhanAllah, Yaqub looks at that shirt, it's complete, it's not even tear, it's not even ripped. It's not even torn or anything. And he says, subhanAllah, how merciful this wolf is. He ate my son and left his shirt intact, untouched. SubhanAllah, yani, you're talking about a wolf attacking someone that's wearing something. At least the shirt or the garment should be torn, should be ripped apart. But they return back to their father with a complete shirt, hasn't been touched, stained with blood on it. And then he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that we depend on, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that we rely on. Now Yaqub alayhi salam, he became very, very grieved, very sad and upset over the loss of his son, Yusuf alayhi salam. He was the closest son to him. And not only that, but Yaqub alayhi salam, as a prophet and a messenger, can project the future of his son to be a prophet. You know, when you project, you anticipate that your son is going to be a doctor, an engineer, a leader. Can you imagine when your son is going to be a prophet and messenger? That's not going to happen now, because the last prophet and messenger is Muhammad. But Yaqub alayhi salam can anticipate, can project that Yusuf alayhi salam will be that prophet and messenger, because Yaqub alayhi salam is a prophet and messenger, so Allah had given him more knowledge than your common person. وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِي بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ. So they came back to their father with his shirt stained with blood, and they said, oh father, while we were running, racing, entertaining ourselves and having fun and playing, we left Yusuf, our brother, behind to look after our belongings and luggage. So the wolf came and attacked him, the wolf came and ate him, and look, this is the proven evidence, his shirt stained with blood. Obviously, you're talking about a prophet and a messenger. Prophets and messengers are usually the smartest of people. It's not like, you know, you could pull his leg and say something which is not true. Yaqub alayhi salam knew. Yaqub alayhi salam knew. It was a plan, a plot by the brothers of Yusuf against their brother Yusuf alayhi salam. But at the end of the day, he had to resort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Yaqub is a prophet and messenger. He knew that this is the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. Now where's Yusuf? Yusuf is stuck in the middle of the well. He's in the well, where they cast him in a well. And some narrations even mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent one of the angels or Jibreel to carry him, not falling into the bottom of the well. Otherwise he'll injure himself, he'll harm himself. So he was carried. These are some narrations. It was carried by an angel for him not to fall to the deep bottom of the world. This is where we stopped at last week. So let's continue. Phase 2. Episode 2. وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ فَأَدْلَى دَلْوَهُ. We mentioned that well is a famous well, a popular well, that many caravans which are traveling from one country to another country, especially going from Egypt to the Middle East, if you want to call it, from Egypt to Sham, they used to go past that world. That world was a known world to the travelers, in which it's a stopover for them. They'll get water out of that world and then they continue their journey. So one of the caravans that's originally from Egypt was traveling back to Egypt. They stopped at that well and they sent their slaves for them to go and get water for the rest of the leaders, their masters, and the people of that well, the people of that caravan, sorry. So one of the slaves, one of the workers, went with his bucket and he threw it inside that well, thinking that he's gonna carry water. Throwing a bucket in a well, what are you going to get? Water. وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ فَأَدْلَى دَلْوَةٌ. A caravan went past that well. They cast their bucket inside that well for them to collect water, for them to feed themselves, for them to quench their thirst and the thirst of the other people. So when they threw and cast that water, cast that bucket inside that well, they took out the bucket قال يا بشرى هذا غلام. I'm expecting to get water, so what do I get? A beautiful young boy. يا بشرى. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a beautiful expression here in the Quran Kareem. Bushra, what a glad tidings, what a good news, what a beautiful thing. I'm getting water, but rather than just getting water, I'm getting a beautiful young boy. وَأَسَرُّوهُ بِضَاعَ. Subhanallah, look at the details. Look at the details, the precise details that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Kareem. Did Muhammad make up this one? Would Muhammad ever have this information? No way, not a million years. This is from Allah, revelation from Allah. وَأَسَرُّوهُ بِضَاعَ. So the one that was sent, that slave or that worker of that caravan, that Egyptian caravan, that went and picked up that water and then he found that child, what did he do? He hid that young boy, Yusuf alayhi salam. Why did he hide him? Because he was planning to go and sell him in the market, in the black market in Egypt, because if his master finds out about it, then his master will take him. وَأَسَرُّوهُ بِضَاعَ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah knows what's going on. Allah's watching everything. Allah's recording everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. So now Yusuf alayhi salam has been taken by that caravan, hidden in that caravan, and now he's been transported from where he was near his family to Egypt. Now Egypt is a big civilization back then. Egypt was considered to be the superpower back then. So he's been taken now to Egypt. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to mention, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودًا وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. Allahu Akbar. Look at the precise, concise details that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Then look at it, just how beautiful the story is, how precise this information that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that someone like Muhammad and 1,000 Muhammad and 1,000,000 Muhammad cannot come up with information like this. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمٍ مَعْدُودٍ. Even Allah azza wa jalla mentions, after they transported Yusuf alayhi salam, this young beautiful boy, he was taken back to Egypt, he was sold for a cheap price. Why did Allah mention cheap price? When do you sell something? If you have something that's $1,000, but you are willing to sell for $100, what does that mean? Desperation. Desperation of what? They wanted to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam so quick, so they don't get caught. Because they did something wrong. They found something and they work for someone. They're supposed to do what? Give it to the boss. If you are working for your boss, if you are working on land and you find something on that land, what's your responsibility? To give it to the boss, because you work for them. So those slaves that found Yusuf alayhi salam and discovered Yusuf alayhi salam, they were in so haste and rush, they just wanted to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam even for a cheap price. So rather than getting, for example, $1,000, they're willing to accept $100 just to get rid of him quickly before their big boss or before their master finds out about him. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودًا وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. They belittled the value of Yusuf alayhi salam. But Allah obviously mentioned that to give us other meanings. How quick and haste were those people willing, and how quick they were in selling Yusuf alayhi salam just to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam. So who bought Yusuf alayhi salam? Al-Aziz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Kareem, Al-Aziz. Aziz means someone noble. But Aziz is a title. Aziz is a title. A title for who? During the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, there used to be a king. That's the title of the leader of Egypt. And the title of the treasurer was Al-Aziz. So the treasurer of Egypt, his title was Al-Aziz. That wasn't his name, that was his title. And a treasurer, usually in a government, even Australia, the treasurer is the second most powerful man in the country. Usually, the president and then the treasurer. Even in Australia, the prime minister, then the treasurer. And even back then, during the time of Yusuf alayhi salam in Egypt, the most powerful man was the king and then the treasurer. So the title of the treasurer was Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz was the one that bought Yusuf alayhi salam, and he bought him for a very cheap price. وقال الذي اشتراه من مصر لامرأته أكرمي مثواه عسى أن ينفعنا أو نتخذه ولدا. Okay, let me give you a background on this Aziz. This Aziz is the treasurer. The treasurer is the second most powerful man in Egypt. Some narrations say that he was impotent. Impotent means someone that can't have children. So he was married to his wife, and he was a respectful man, powerful man, the second most powerful man in Egypt, but never had any children. So he was married, he was powerful, he was prestigious, he was wealthy, but no kids. So he purchased Yusuf alayhi salam. What did he say to his wife, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to, in the Quran al-Kareem? وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِنْ مِصْرِ, the one that bought him from Egypt, لِمْرَأَتِهِ, to his wife, أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ, honor him, honor Yusuf, take care of him. Take care of Yusuf alayhi salam. Obviously he wasn't a prophet, but take care of Yusuf, take care of this young boy. And some narrations say, as I mentioned to you last week, he was about 12, 13 years old. عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا, maybe we'll make some benefit out of him, maybe we'll benefit out of him, or we'll take him as a child, because you and I, we don't have any children. And you know what, it's not nice sometimes that people in that position that have kids, even if you have money, even if you have wealth, even if you have prestige, even if you have power, but if you don't have children in your life, it's like a bit of deficiency back then. I know these days people don't care. You married, not married, people don't even care anymore. You've got presidents and prime ministers and premiers, no husband, no wife, they don't even care. Back then, it's not a nice thing. It's not a nice look that you are the second most powerful man and you don't have kids. People look down at them. Back then, now it's normal. Okay, and it's got nothing to do with the deen. It's just a cultural thing, you know. So that's one of the things that Al-Aziz, the treasurer, had as deficiency in his life, that he didn't have a child. So he said, why don't we take him as a child? Maybe we'll use him to be our child. Let people know that finally we've got a boy. But at the end, they used Yusuf alayhi salam as a slave. But then later on, he became the head of slaves. To the extent some narrations even say that he was the second in charge in the palace of the Aziz, of the treasurer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and that's how we consolidated, that's how we strengthened, empowered Yusuf alayhi salam on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empowered, strengthened Yusuf alayhi salam and made him to be someone who was cast, thrown, exiled by his own brothers into becoming someone who's so respected in the palace of the Aziz, the treasurer, that he became second in charge after the Aziz. Yes, he was a slave, but slave with an honor. He was like the head. It's like, you know what you call these days? Chief of staff. You know, the chief of staff of a minister, the chief of staff of the treasurer, the chief of staff of the king, or the chief of staff of the prime minister or the president. Yusuf alayhi salam became like the chief of staff. He was the second in charge in the palace and the office of the treasurer. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after we had empowered Yusuf alayhi salam on earth, and after we had strengthened and honored Yusuf alayhi salam on earth, after what happened to him from his brothers, Allah says, not only that, وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, we will teach him the interpretation of dreams. That's the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Yusuf alayhi salam, which means he'll become a prophet, messenger, and his gift, he'll interpret dreams. Wallahu ghalibun ala amri. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this. Allah azza wa jal is predominant over his affairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that runs the affairs of mankind. Not the brothers of Yusuf, not the master of Yusuf, not even the father of Yusuf. The one that runs the affairs of mankind is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one that runs the affairs of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that runs the affairs of the creation. This world is not in the hands of this person and that person, or this country and that country, or this leader or that leader, or this group and that group. The affairs of this world is in the hands of Allah. Wallahu ghalibun ala amri. ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. As Allah makes mention, a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people, what? A lot of the times when we talk, look what's happening around the world, as if what's happening around the world is in the hands of people or countries or states or presidents or leaders or syndicates or cults or groups. The affairs of this world and the people of this world are in the hands of Allah. But Allah tests people differently. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing Yusuf alayhi salam. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing Yusuf right now. His brothers wanted one thing, and look where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts Yusuf, and look where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put him later on. His brothers wanted to dishonor him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to honor him. Not only in this world and the hereafter. His brothers planned and plotted one thing, and Allah planned and plotted another thing. That's it. And Allah is the best planner. ويمكرون ويمكر الله. They plan and Allah plans. Wallahu khairu makirin. Allah is the best of planners. Oh, now we use the word plot. It doesn't sound befitting, but that's the translation of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond that. Walamma. Now Yusuf alayhi salam is going through phases. He was with his father and his brothers. Then he was cast in the well, and then he was transported from that well to Egypt. Then he was sold. And then he grew up in the household of the treasurer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. When Yusuf alayhi salam reached the age of puberty, and that age 14, 15 years old, Allahu A'lam. But when Yusuf alayhi salam reached the age of puberty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave him wisdom, judgment, and knowledge. Some of the scholars say, that's the prophecy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Yusuf alayhi salam a prophet at a young age. At a young age. And some scholars say it was later on, but Allah gave him wisdom. Allah gave him knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him good judgment. And that's the quality of a prophet. A prophet is someone with knowledge, wisdom, and good judgment. You know, that's the problem that we have sometimes. We might have knowledge, but no good judgment. We don't even know how to make good judgment. We get stuck, no wisdom. Yes, you find people are scholars, people are leaders, have knowledge, no judgment, no wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Yusuf as a man of knowledge and a man of good judgment and wisdom. Make good judgment, be balanced. Now what's right and what's wrong? Doesn't mean just because you've got knowledge, you know how to make judgments. Doesn't mean just because you've got knowledge, you've got wisdom. That's one aspect, but you need to have the other aspect, good judgment, wisdom. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. When Yusuf alayhi salam had reached the age of puberty and maturity, we granted Yusuf alayhi salam judgment and knowledge. وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And that's what we grant the good doers. But what happens? With everything good comes a test. With everything good, what? Comes a test. You can't claim to be a leader and not be tested. You can't say you're a prophet and a messenger and not be tested. What was the first thing the Prophet Muhammad was told? When Waraq ibn Awfal told him, it's time due for a prophet and a messenger, and I believe you are the next prophet and messenger. I wish I'm there as a young man to stand by you when your people turn against you, when your people exile from the city. The Prophet ﷺ said, why would my people do that to me if I'm only bringing good to them? No one had ever came with what he came with, and his people didn't turn against him. Whenever there's an honor, there's a test. Whenever there's something good, there's a test. Whenever there's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's what? A test. So now Yusuf alayhi salam is the son of a prophet, and he became a prophet. Allah granted him good judgment, wisdom, and knowledge. And Allah honored him after his own brothers were trying to dishonor him. But now the big test comes. There's gonna be a test. Don't think you could just get away with it. You can't say, Wallah, I'm working for Islam and get away without being tested. You have to be tested. Whether you like or not, you have to be tested. Whether you accept or not, you have to be tested. So what was the big test? Yusuf alayhi salam grew up in the household of the treasurer. And it was second in charge. He was honored. He was respected. On the top of all this, Allah gave him wisdom, judgment, knowledge, prophecy, respect, honor. Now the test. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ Yusuf alayhi salam, when he reached the age of maturity, when he hit the age of 17, 18 years old, as some scholars mention, usually when someone is young, 12, 13, they look good. But when do you usually complete the beauty of your looks? When you hit 17, 18, 19, 20, that's when you start, that's the beauty of your looks starts to appear and emerge when you hit that age. Yes, you've got people 12, 13 years old, they look good, but they look better. The true beauty of their looks starts to appear when they are 17, 18. Usually, you could say, oh, it could be different. I've got a young boy, I've got a nephew, mashallah, 12 years old. He was looking very good. He grew up, mashallah, he doesn't look the best. I'll agree in one way or another. But in general, we're talking about general. Talking about general. So Yusuf alayhi salam always looked very, very good. But when he hit 17, 18, he looked so beautiful, so handsome. To the extent that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the beauty and Allah divided it into two halves. One half to the entire mankind and one half just to Yusuf alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. He was so beautiful. He was so handsome. But that's a test. Yes. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you goodness, with everything that's good comes with it what? It entails tests. So when Allah gives you wealth, that's good. But Allah's testing you. When Allah gives you good looks, that's good, but Allah's testing you. When Allah puts you in a position of leadership, that's good, but Allah's testing you. When Allah gives you fame, that's good, but Allah's testing you with it too. So right now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Yusuf alayhi salam a gift. What was the gift of Yusuf? Being very good, looking very good. Looking very good. He was very handsome. He was very attractive. Allah granted him that gift, but with it what comes? Test. So, where did the test come from? Within. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابَ وَقَالَتْ حَيْتَ لَكَ His own master. The wife of his master. The wife of the treasurer. The one that looked after him. That woman that brought him up. That took care of him. She couldn't handle it anymore. This man, he's no longer a boy. He's 17, 18 years old. He's no longer a boy. He's a man. He's an adult. And he's very handsome. She couldn't handle it anymore. She couldn't grab herself. So she started to seduce him. This guy is too good looking. Even though he's my own slave, but I can't control my desire, I can't restrain my desire anymore. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ The owner of the house that Yusuf alayhi salam is living in started to seduce him. Yalla Yusuf, come on, let's have what a man has with his wife. Let's have what a woman has with her husband. Come close. So what was the response of Yusuf? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ She brought him into her room. And that's normal. He's a slave. He's a worker. It's happening every day. Yusuf, get me this. He comes into her room. Yusuf, take this from me. He comes into her room. So it's not like the first time Yusuf alayhi salam enters the room of her, of his master, or the room of the wife of his master, the treasurer. Yusuf, come into my room. When Yusuf alayhi salam this time came into her room, she locked the rooms. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ She locked all the rooms. So there was more than one door. She locked the room, she locked the doors of that room. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ هَيْتَ لَكَ Don't come close. Let's have what a man has with his wife. So what was the response of Yusuf alayhi salam? Who's Yusuf again? He's not someone of the street. He's not a loose cannon. He's not a misguided person. He is a prophet. What did Allah mention before that? In a verse before that, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, in the verse before, وَآتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah praised Yusuf alayhi salam before this incident. And Allah says that we had granted him wisdom and knowledge and judgment. And he is from amongst the muhsineen, from amongst the righteous people. So what was the reaction? What was the response of Yusuf alayhi salam when the wife of the treasurer, the wife of his master, tried to seduce him to commit the haram with him? Tried to seduce him and sleep with him, al-iyadu billah. What was the response of Yusuf? قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. I seek refuge in Allah. عُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. No way! This is haram in my belief. This is haram in my religion. This is haram in my values. This is haram in what I believe in. And not only it's haram, إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَيْ. You are the wife of the man that took care of me. Put the deen aside, but morally speaking about it, you are the wife of the man that's been taking care of me from a young age. This is betrayal. This is wrong. I can't go and betray my master. He looked after me. He's been taking care of me from a young age. And right now, you want me to betray him by me sleeping with his wife? قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. No way. Not only it's against my faith, it's against my values. I'm not going to betray the man that looked after me. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. Rabbi here, not Allah. Rabbi he refers to the Lord of the house. Means the owner of this house. You are the wife of the man that looked after me when I was young. Till this day he looks after me. Not only that, he's honored me, he trusted me. He entrusted me not only with you, he entrusted me with his affairs. Yusuf alayhi salam was second in charge in the household of the treasurer. So the treasurer, the husband of this woman that's trying to seduce him and commit the haram with him, not only that, he entrusted Yusuf alayhi salam. He entrusted Yusuf alayhi salam with his affairs. He entrusted Yusuf alayhi salam with his household. And he also entrusted Yusuf alayhi salam with his family. No way. That's not going to happen. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلُحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. What did Yusuf alayhi salam say? The oppressors will never succeed. If I'm going to do this, I'm an oppressor. My master entrusted me, not only in his household, in his family, also entrusted me to take care of you. And if I do betray that, I'm a traitor. And traitors will never succeed. Deceivers will never succeed. Lawyers will never succeed. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, she certainly determined that she wanted to commit the haram with him. She was determined in sleeping with him. I'm sorry to use that expression. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he was also determined. She was determined in committing the haram. And he was determined in not committing the haram. You know, sometimes you listen to some of the scholars or some of the people that explain that to be, he was also determined, or he intended to do the haram, but he feared Allah. A'udhu billah, he's a prophet and a messenger. Prophets and messengers don't even think of haram. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. She was determined in committing the haram with him. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. He was also determined in not committing the haram with her. لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him. He's a prophet and a messenger. Like, you know, you want to do the haram sometimes, but you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had shown you. Showing you what? Verses in the Quran Kareem that this is haram. A hadith from the Prophet Muhammad SAW, this is haram. This is a prophet and messenger. He was determined not to commit the haram because he saw the proofs and evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had shown him. كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ. That's how we prevent people like Yusuf alayhi salam from falling into evil deeds and sins. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا المخلصين. Not مخلصين. مخلصين what? مخلصين إخلاص. Sincere. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say about Yusuf alayhi salam from being amongst the sincere ones. Yusuf alayhi salam is above from being amongst the sincere ones. Mukhlasin, he is from amongst the chosen people. Allah chose him. Yusuf alayhi salam, special. And Allah chose him because he's special. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected, preserved Yusuf alayhi salam. Prophets and messengers do not commit sins. And this verse implies that prophets and messengers are ma'sumin, they do not commit sins, they don't fall in sins. They're infallible, sinless, including Yusuf alayhi salam is infallible. He does not commit sins, and that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him, preserved him from falling into a sin. And prophets and messengers, not only they don't commit sins, they don't even think of sins. They're above thinking of sins. Prophets and messengers don't commit sins. Prophets and messengers don't even think of sins. And that's why it's a wrong interpretation to say that Yusuf alayhi salam thought of committing the sin with her. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. If I say to you, this sheikh thought of committing the sin, but he didn't commit it. Is that befitting to a sheikh? It's not even befitting to a sheikh, let alone for a prophet and a messenger. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. That's how we preserve Yusuf alayhi salam. And the special people who are the prophets and messengers like Yusuf alayhi salam, we preserve them from falling into sins. So prophets and messengers don't commit sins. Prophets and messengers don't even think of committing sins. And your prophet and messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't even condone, doesn't even accept a sin to be committed in front of him or to be spoken in front of him. So if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets past someone who's eating something haram or drinking something haram or saying something haram or doing something haram, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a duty, has a responsibility. What's his duty and responsibility? To tell him that this is haram. Otherwise, it will become a legislation in the Sharia. See the seriousness of it? It's a serious matter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved Yusuf alayhi salam. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam is stuck in this room. And the doors of this room are locked, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She locked all the rooms. She locked all the doors. That room that she was in, that she called and she invited Yusuf alayhi salam in that room. And some narrations say that she made herself look good and she wore seductive clothes, attractive clothes. And she put the perfume on, exactly what a wife does to her husband. Which is nothing wrong with that. On the contrary, Islamically is recommended for both, husband and wife. But not to a stranger. He's your slave. He's not your husband. Come in, Yusuf. She locked the room. Come inside. Yalla, come near me. A'udhu billah. This is haram. And it's a betrayal. It's haram. And it's a betrayal. I will never ever displease Allah and displease my boss. Subhanallah, you know, like just on this verse we could talk about halal and haram and loyalty and honesty and being faithful to your boss. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابَ وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِنْ دُبُرٍ وَأَلْفَ يَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَ الْبَابِ. Come here, Yusuf. أعوذ بالله. So Yusuf alayhi salam starts to run away from her and she's chasing him inside that room. So obviously we're talking about a big massive room. We're talking about treasurer. Maybe the room could be as big as this place here. And she's chasing Yusuf alayhi salam. She's pursuing Yusuf and Yusuf is running away from her until she grabbed him from the back and ripped his shirt. That's how desperate she was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that. And when she is chasing Yusuf alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam is running away from her, and then she grabs his shirt from the back and she rips it. That's how desperate she was. Allah mentions that in the Quran the Kareem. So while she's chasing Yusuf alayhi salam and Yusuf is running away from her, she grabbed his shirt, she ripped it. Who comes into that room? Her husband, his master, the treasurer. Subhanallah, what a predicament. What a test. Can you imagine the position of Yusuf and his wife, the wife of the treasurer? وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِنْ دُبُرٍ وَأَلْفَيَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَ الْبَابِ. So they encounter his boss and her husband. قالت ما جزاء من أراد بأهلك سوءا إلا أن يسجن أو عذاب أليم. She straight away turned the blame on Yusuf عليه السلام. She straight away started to accuse Yusuf عليه السلام of the one that's trying to seduce her. Obviously she's in a ugly position. Can you imagine? But you know what? You're talking about a treasurer here. He's not a stupid bloke. He didn't reach to his position out of stupidity. Unfortunately, we do have people these days reaching the positions of leadership, and subhanAllah, they are probably from amongst the most stupidest of people. But subhanAllah, they managed to get there. This man is not stupid. The treasurer wasn't stupid. Maybe he's not the smartest of people, but he wasn't stupid. You know, there's got to be some signs. When you make an accusation, there's got to be some signs. The treasurer comes into the room and he sees that there's something going on. There's tension there. Something is happening. And then straight away, she puts the blame on Yusuf alayhi salam and she accuses him. She says, what would you do to someone who's trying to seduce your wife? What would you do if someone's trying to do something wrong to your wife? The only thing for you to do is for you to punish them or to lock them up, incarcerate them. Straight away, she wants to remove the accusation away from her. But her husband picked up on something. If he's trying to seduce you, why are you looking so good? Why are you preparing yourself for something? And you know what? This man that you're accusing, I know him. I brought him up. I know his morals, his values, his principles. I've never ever seen anything wrong from him. He's always been honest, loyal, faithful. You know what? I'm not just going to buy into this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ هِيَ رَاوَدَتْنِي عَن نَفْسِي. Yusuf alayhi salam straight away wanted to defend himself. He said, she's the one that's trying to seduce me, not me. And now the treasurer is stuck between what he sees from the outside and what he believes. Deep inside, he knew that Yusuf alayhi salam will never ever be disloyal to him. He's tried him. He knows who Yusuf alayhi salam is. Very faithful. And between you and I, he knows his wife. She's probably not the straightest of people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. And there was a witness. The witness from her and family. Who's that witness? There's two narrations. One narration is another man that used to work with the treasurer. He's from the family of the treasurer's wife. Another narration says it was a baby that was in that room that belonged to her sister. Allah made that baby speak. And he said, إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. He said, if you see that his shirt was ripped from the front, then obviously he's the one that ripped it. And it's so easy for you to rip your shirt from the front. And he's trying to hide away from the fact that he is the one that's trying to do the crime, or he's trying to perpetrate this crime. So if you see that his shirt is ripped from the front, then she's saying the truth and he's a liar. وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ فَكَذَبَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. And if his shirt is ripped from the back, it's easy for me to rip here, but I'm going to rip it from the back. It's not easy for you to rip your shirt from the back. It's easy for you to rip it from the front. If his shirt is ripped from the back, then she is saying the untruth. She's a liar and he is from the truthful one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا رَأَى قَمِيسَهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنْ. When he investigated and he saw that his shirt was ripped from the back, and logically when you think about it, how are you going to rip your shirt from the back? He said, he is saying the truth. إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنْ إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنْ عَظِيمٌ. And this is part of your evil plan and plotting. He knew from the very beginning that Yusuf would never ever be unfaithful to him. Yusuf alayhi salam would never ever be disloyal. But subhanAllah, after he investigated and found out that she's saying the untruth, she's saying the falsehood, she's lying, and Yusuf alayhi salam is saying the truth, What was his response? Usually you think, especially back then, someone that his wife just had an affair or tried to have an affair from behind him. His wife just been dishonest and disloyal. Like, you know, you'll expect that he'll kick her out of the palace, he'll divorce her. But usually people in that position, my position, my reputation, say, you know what? Don't mention this to anyone. His reaction was, Yusuf, أعرض عن هذا واستغفري لذنبك إنك كنت من الخاطئين. Yusuf, keep your mouth shut. Don't bring up, don't even talk about this to anyone. And about you, you are the perpetrator. You are the disloyal one. You are the traitor. Just seek forgiveness and don't worry about it. Subhanallah. People in that position, position of leadership, fame, if something major happens in their life, they'll focus about their fame, their leadership. They don't care about the reality. You know, this is a major sin here. She just betrayed her own husband. And what did he say? Just keep it between us. Subhanallah. You know, like when you really think about the Quran Kareem is so precise. Like, you know, if the Prophet Muhammad SAW wanted to make up something of the Quran Kareem, there's no way in the Messiah will go so deep in thinking about that. Yusuf أعرض عن هذا. Yusuf, they mentioned this to us all. وَاسْتَغْفِرِي لِذَنْبِكِ إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. You just seek forgiveness because you just made a mistake. And subhanAllah, the treasurer himself wanted just to keep it quiet, hush hush, no one to find out about it, and he left things as they are. But slowly, the news started to leak to the public. And people at the level of the treasurer, ministers' wives, people are in a position of leadership, start to find out that the wife of the treasurer tried to seduce her slave. And you know what? To them, Allah mentions that in the Quran Kareem, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ إِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاعَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. Women in the city, like people at the level and the class of the treasurer's wife, that were talking and saying, how degrading is that? How dishonorable is that? That she's trying to seduce her and slave. Like, this is something so dishonorable. At least if you want to do it, do it with someone bigger. Subhanallah, which is what indicating the shiftiness, the sins they used to commit amongst each other. But it's bad for you to have it with your slave. You want to do it, do it with someone that's not a slave. And now the situation starts to escalate. And Yusuf alayhi salam has been put in a tough situation. What's that situation? What happens? We'll talk about it next week. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. I wanna be in Jannah. Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. It pious person's destiny. Inshallah in Jannah.